They kept shooting at Nielsen from the beach. He decided to swim back toward the shore, so they'd think he'd given up and was coming in. He hoped they'd momentarily let up on their fire, and they did. Nielsen then angled slightly and swam parallel to the coastline for about 100 yards. The Japanese followed him down the beach, patiently tracking alongside him, step for stroke. Occasionally they pinged a shot or two in his direction, but mostly they just kept a close eye on him. I came down to a place along the shore where there were a lot of trees and bushes in the water. I knew they were following me, so I went toward shore and splashed to make a little noise. I wanted them to think I was finally coming in. Then I abruptly turned around and went out just as quiet as possible and started swimming across the bay. They never shot at me again. Probably it was too dark for them to see me. I swam most of the night. I couldn't see the other side of the bay, but I knew it was about 5 miles. About halfway out, I ran into a strong current. It seemed like I was there for a couple hours, making no headway. Finally, I reached the opposite shore and crawled on my hands and knees up on the rocks. I was in a mangrove swamp. I was too weak to stand up. It was about 4 a.m. I'd been swimming for nearly 9 hours. Washed up on the far shores of Puerto Princesa Bay, Nielsen was a pitiful sight. Naked, nursing 2 bullet wounds, his skin cross-hatched with lacerations from coral. He rested for a few hours, and then stumbled, half delirious, through the swamp until he encountered a Filipino who was walking along a path, wielding a bolo knife. In his current state, Nielsen was suspicious of anyone carrying a knife. The Filipino seemed wary of Nielsen's hideous castaway appearance, but was not especially frightened. "I couldn't imagine how he could be so cool," Nielsen said. At first, Nielsen worried that the man was a Japanese sympathizer, but then the Filipino offered him water. Nielsen followed his new acquaintance down a path through dense jungle to a hideout where Filipino guerrillas were stationed. There, to his amazement, Nielsen encountered 2 more American survivors from the camp, Albert Pacheco and Edwin Petrie. "I didn't believe it at first," said Nielsen. "I thought I was seeing things." Each of the 2 men had his own grisly story to tell, the details varying only slightly from Nielsen's account. Later, Nielsen, Pacheco, and Petrie hooked up with 3 additional escapees. Still others would wash up over the succeeding days, bringing the total of known Palawan survivors to 11. One had endured an encounter with a sand shark. The last arrival, Glenn McDowell from Des Moines, Iowa, was found clinging to a Filipino fish trap out in the bay. Local fishermen hauled him in, half alive, with the morning catch. By guerrilla escort, Nielsen and the original 5 survivors made their way out of the Japanese-held territories on Palawan, first by foot, and then by an outrigger canoe, or banca, powered by blankets that were thrown up as makeshift sails. On January 6, the half-dozen men were finally evacuated by a Catalina flying boat to the island of Morotai, where they came under the care of the U.S. Army.